Now, women leaders working in a man's world. No question that women leaders face challenges that their male counterparts don't. Today, we'll get a look at exactly what those challenges are. With us this morning, Kathy Nelson is president and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission. Kathy, so good to have you.
Thank you so much.
Mia Parrish is publisher of the Kansas City Star, and that makes her also my boss. And Mia, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, let's get right into this. Kathy, how tough is it being a woman leader in a man's world? What do you think?
You know, I don't think it's really as hard as some people would think.
Yeah.
I grew up with brothers. I've always worked in sports.
That helps a lot. We're
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a newsroom environment. I started my career at Channel 4 here in town.
So you're cool is what you're saying.
Absolutely. There you go.
And all that stuff helped.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I also grew up as an athlete playing sports. And so a lot of the lessons I've learned kind of came on the court or on the field. And that's truly played into being a leader in that man's world today.
Now, I thought you were going to come in here and say it's just very, very difficult. And you're saying that's not the case.
Not at all. Men are actually very nice.
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part.
Mia Parrish, do you share that same view?
Yeah, I think I'm a pragmatist, so it is what it is. I'm going to be surrounded by men in a newsroom. I'm going to be surrounded by men in a business environment. And mostly my best mentors have been men, primarily, because there aren't a whole lot of women. So those are the people who are going to be the ones who have helped me and I've learned from, and they're my colleagues and my counterparts, and that it's just a fact. So,
is that changing, this notion that there aren't that many female publishers around the country? Is that changing, Mia?
The company we work for, McClatchy, has about a third women, so which is unusual, actually. So mostly that is still an unusual thing.
But journalism, at least in theory, is a business that prides itself on if nothing else, open-mindedness to cover the news and to be open to new angles as to where stories are going. Why isn't it that the industry hasn't been more open to more women at the top?
There aren't as many women in business, period, whatever industry you're in. There aren't as many women in business in our industry, period. It's hard to move up in the time that you need to move up at a certain age, because women are busy with raising families and all sorts of things sort of get in the way. I'm not making an excuse about that, but there are things that stand in the way of getting to the places that get you to that role. And so that narrows the pool, I think, as well. And we also have a self-selection about that, because it does take you away from lots of other things that you might be interested in doing. And so you decide, and so it's not a bad thing. I say this job is not for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, given that, what Mia just said, Kathy, this notion that women have other, you know, interests and duties in life in some cases, you know, some want to have children, that does change the math, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. In my role as the president of a sports commission, there are 300, 400 sports commissions in the country, and there are three of us that serve in that president role. And I think
who are women?
Who are women, absolutely.
Three of the 400?
Three, that's correct.
Wow.
And I think that is so true, in that, you know, when I look back at my life stages, when a lot of my counterparts were progressing and becoming leaders in whatever field that is, I was at home working with my kids on homework at night, not able to extend my hours. It could be that on weekends, like I said, I grew up in the sports industry and the television world. A lot of people worked weekends and nights, and that wasn't where my life stage allowed me to be at the time.
So how did you make up for lost time?
Worked really hard, I guess.
She's awesome.
Yeah, well, apparently. That's pretty clear. Yeah.
And I think I knew the right people at the right time, and I had a passion about what I wanted to do. And I think I wasn't afraid to ask, to say, how can I participate? What's the next step for me? I worked in the television production truck for 20-plus years and typically the only female on the crew. And I wasn't embarrassed or ever afraid to say, I want to learn how to do that job. I want to learn how to understand stats. I want to learn to produce behind the camera. I want to learn how to direct. And a lot of my female counterparts didn't have that in them maybe to ask at the time.
Why not, do you think?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Again, growing up as an athlete, I kind of had that drive and initiative inside, probably. And so some of my other friends maybe just weren't as driven at the time.
You know, Mia, your situation is interesting to me because not only are you a woman leader of the Kansas City Star, which is a very large organization, but you're also a little bit on the youngish side.
Thank you for that.
I'm trying to characterize this carefully here because you're my boss. But you were hired at age 40 in 2011 to lead the Star. You were young. That's a double whammy in some ways, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I was a publisher at 35, which was one of the youngest publishers in the company when I went to my previous role. And I've been the youngest or one of the youngest in whatever job it is that I've ever done. So that just, again, is a fact and the reality of it. There weren't any others like me ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it, too, is I talk about being brave. And I think that's what Kathy's talking about as well. You have to be able to say, you know what? If there isn't anybody else like me, I'm just going to have to be me. I'm going to have to be okay with that and, you know, chart my own path and have the people around me who can help me and guide me. Men put me in this job because those were the people who were in charge. And I didn't have anyone who looked like me to do that job, but they trusted in that and they gave me opportunities and I asked for those opportunities. So I've actually been doing this a long time. I've been a publisher for almost 8 years, which is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in leadership roles for a long time before that, partly because I did ask and I stepped up, like Kathy said. But you do need to do that.
You know, you say, you sort of just threw that line out there, this notion of you had to be comfortable being yourself and
mm-hmm.
just accept and roll with that. You know, that's easy to say, and it strikes me as you know, it's difficult for anyone in his or her 30s to sort of adopt that mindset and live it. That's not as easy to do as what you just sort of made it sound like.
No, I don't think it's a woman thing at all. I think it's a life thing.
Life thing.
You know, that you need to be able to be yourself and know that everybody's different. I mean, I was a young female person of color, whatever, name anything you want to name in a man's world, but that's just what I was. Like, I can't change any of that. I can change how I respond to that. I can change what I choose to do with that. But I also can't expect everybody else to adapt to me for that.
Well, what was it in your life that allowed you to get to that place and have that comfort level? What was in your upbringing that sort of gave you that sense of self-confidence that you could do what you just said?
Probably because I was always different. You know, a half Korean, whatever. You know, I mean, all those things just inherently I was other than something else. So it never bothered me to be the only one of something.
You were raised that way.
I was just the only, except for my sister, just the two of us. So.
Yeah. Kathy wanted to hop in here.
Well,
yeah.
She made a great point about your peers, and I truly believe that your peers get you promoted. You know, you ask, what was it that was in me? I think it was the people that I worked with and what I was about. I was always myself, and I may be the only female on a television production sports crew or in the world I'm in now, but people around me, the board of directors, my coworkers, really were the ones that encouraged me to continue on this leadership path.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a true believer in that peers get you promoted.
Huh. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk. We'll sort of chart each of your career paths and sort of walk through that a little bit. In the meantime, I want to get our listeners involved here, too. If you're a woman leader, or maybe you work with one, call us and describe the challenges your leader is up against. Are the challenges facing women really all that different from what men face or not? Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Or you can email us to uptodate@kcur.org or tweet us @kcuruptodate. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. This hour, we're visiting with a pair of women leaders who are working in a man's world. Kathy Nelson is president and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission. Mia Parrish is publisher of the Kansas City Star. Let's talk about each of your career paths, Kathy, because they are so interesting. Trace your path for us. How did you get to be president and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission?
I started out of college. I was fortunate. I had done an internship with Channel 4 back then. It was WDAF. Fox did not exist.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate to bump into someone I had done an internship with, and they said there was an opening in the newsroom, and that was what I had gone to school for, was television and radio broadcasting. Immediately, 2 days later, next thing I knew, I was working in the newsroom on the assignment desk and delve right in. But my passion was sports. Didn't know what that meant. A lot of people say, I want to work in sports, but what does that truly mean? and had some great coworkers and leaders in my world that encouraged me on the, you know, part-time weekends to do freelance sports. So I'd spent 12 wonderful years at Channel 4. I'd done a little bit of everything and met a few people along the route in production and had talked about starting a full-time sports channel on cable. And my husband said, "You've got to be kidding me. You're going to leave broadcast television and go work in cable." And back in the time, that was unheard of.
So you had the idea for ESPN before there was ESPN?
Actually, I'd like to take credit for that, but not exactly. But we did get together, and a few of the guys started Metro Sports here in town, and yeah. I left my production or my broadcast career and went to help grow that channel. It was 6 hours a day at the time, and my responsibility was growing into a 24-hour-a-day news channel, a sports channel.
Wow.
So then I was doing what I wanted to do, work in sports full time, and had served as a volunteer and a leader with the Sports Commission, had been on numerous committees with them when Kevin Gray, the president at the time, was around, and really had gotten engaged, and Kevin encouraged me to come work for him. So I left broadcast, gone to cable, and now I'm going from cable to nonprofit, and my husband said, "I cannot believe we're having this conversation
You're
again.
You're going backwards, yeah.
So 20-plus years in sports and television focused, I decided to leave my career and go work at the Sports Commission for Kevin Gray.
I mean, why? Why would you make that jump?
I'm
assuming the role of your husband here. Why would you do that? Yeah.
I am so passionate about giving back to the community, and my kids seeing me as a giver and a doer, that I had done what I wanted to do. I had kind of proven my point that I'm truly unique in that sports production world. I'm the first female to ever win an Emmy for the production of an NFL game. Not many people can say that.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
I kind of checked some boxes off, and it was time for me again back to my life stage. My kids were younger, and I traveled 4 or 5 days a week. We were launching other sports channels across the country, and it was time for me to kind of take a back seat. Kevin encouraged me to follow my heart and be home for my
kids.
Kevin Gray, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, watch them participate in activities at school and sports. And I left then to go work for him in 2010 as the Win for KC director, the Women's Intersport Network.
Okay, the big question. What is the KC Sports Commission?
Our mission is to not only we're here to bring sports to Kansas City. So our tagline is "We bring it." We bring sports to Kansas City, whether that's an event, an NCAA event, a triathlon, a marathon, things like that. We help grow our community through sports.
And again, you said there are just, what, 3 of the 400 or so sports commission around the country that are headed by women.
Correct.
Do you guys talk? I mean,
yes, all the time.
And what do you talk about?
You know, it's funny. We don't talk about what it's like to lead in a man's world because I think we've all just kind of grown up just like me. It's what we do.
Yeah.
We are passionate about what we do. I would say we talk more because we have more things in common. We have families where, okay, what are you doing this weekend? And what are you doing to encourage an NCAA event to come to your city? We have that bond. It's a unique bond in our world. So that's probably why we talk more than anything, is just because we've connected on a different level.
Mia, are you able to do that as publisher of The Star? Do you have other women leaders in the newspaper industry that you sort of connect with in the same way that Kathy does?
I do. I actually have a little cohort of people, and there are men and women in that group. And there are each of us brings something. I mean, I guess I think of each person being unique and different, and that's sort of why I've been successful, and that I think we're trying to help each other be the best version of whoever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is going to look like me. I'm not going to look like anybody else. You know, what can we do to help each other?
Because you do get a sense in reading about leadership that sometimes it can be pretty lonely because you're the person at the top, and mm-hmm. you know, you can't just go up to, you know, someone who works for you and say, "Hey, you know, I'm struggling with that editor or that, you know, sales rep," and you can't do that.
No, I definitely have a group of close colleagues, and we talk about several times a week sometimes, but we talk at least once a week.
About what's going on,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lonely at the top sometimes, yeah.
Absolutely sometimes. I think, you know, it's important to have both male and females around you that you can call on. You know, another thing I like to believe in as well is truth tellers.
Absolutely.
I talk about this a lot. So sometimes that phone call is, I just need someone to tell me the truth. Is this a good idea or just a really bad idea? And that can be both male or female.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have people you can go to do that with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. We're talking about women leadership in a man's world. 816-235-2888. Let's go to some calls. calls here. And Eileen from Belton. Eileen, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead.
I am wondering, as a young professional, how do I go about seizing opportunities?
How do you go about seizing opportunities, Mia?
Well, like I said before, I call it being brave, but, you know, just go and ask. Apply for the thing. Anything I ever did, I wasn't qualified for when I got the job, right? Because I'd never done it before. And sometimes I would apply for things that I wouldn't get. And I'm not saying apply for anything that's ever out there, but be open to that. Be open to failing. Be open to being told no, because I've learned from those as well.
But doesn't that chip away at your political sort of stock inside of an organization if you've applied once or twice for jobs and you haven't gotten them?
It depends. I don't know. I'm sitting where I'm sitting, so it must have been okay. But
living proof. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think there's a measure of being confident that's okay, and that women have a hard time embracing because you're worried you're going to be too arrogant or that you're going to, you know, be words we don't say on the air or whatever. You have to get over that.
Kathy?
I completely agree. I think it's women need to understand how to promote themselves better and then to quantify all
Absolutely.
Of your accomplishments. But I would encourage the caller to get involved. For me, that's how I ended up where I am today. I was a volunteer. I was on a committee. I was on the board of directors. I served as an advisor. So people knew me and knew my background, which makes it a lot easier, male or female in this world. I think it's because it's their comfort level with you. So whatever job you're looking to do as a young professional, find those unique experiences, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce or any other volunteer group where it's your networking and counterparts. And again, peers get you promoted.
You know, both of you strike me as brave. Both of you strike me as having a little bit of a fearless quality attached to you to do what you've done. And I'm wondering about phone calls like, I don't know if Eileen is fearless or brave or not, but what about women listening to this, or men for that matter, who might be thinking, yeah, you guys had that sort of chutzpah and you could go do that stuff. But what about those of us who lack that kind of quality, Kathy, who just aren't willing to sort of weigh in and try different things, and they take a more measured approach to life?
Well, you're not going to go very far if you're not willing to take a risk and to learn then from a failure. I think it was Mary Kay Barnes that told me years ago that said she, as an athlete, learned how to win on the court, but more importantly, how to win in public, but more importantly, how to lose in public.
I've heard her say that before.
And
yeah.
Anything you do in your career, in your life, or with your family, you have to apply those lessons learned. And to be resilient, you know, we all talk about bouncing back, but truly it's those lessons of failures that you typically learn the lesson harder and it sticks more with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's probably a little bit extra drive in the two of us. I would agree with that. My dad was a big proponent of get out there on the court. You're a leader. You're going to play ball. This is what life's about. But I look at my oldest daughter, who's a little bit more quiet and shy. As long as she's involved and engaged, there's something there. There's a lesson there to be learned and how to continue to just ask, take a risk, and jump in.
I do think there's a difference between being fearless and being brave. And I'm full of fear. I mean, I've got fears, all sorts of, you know, it's the idea of overcoming those or stepping up to the plate and doing them even when you're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, you know, you were talking about your daughter. Different people come at this in different ways. I think Kathy and I have similarities in that I was just open to trying different things. Mm-hmm. So throughout the course of my career, I was building competencies across a whole host of things. Other people are more measured about it. You know, other people build a plan and they have a list and they check off the things on the list. I was like, well, I'll try working at night. Oh, I'll try being a photographer. Oh, you want me to be a Sunday editor? I'll do that. That was my way of learning the business and knowing so much more, because that's how I learn. But you can and it wasn't about applying and moving up. But because I was open to all these crazy different jobs and became all these different things, oddly, it did set the stage. I did not aim to be a publisher.
That was my next question.
I didn't even know what a publisher did.
Yeah, you weren't. That wasn't in the back of your mind the whole time.
Absolutely not. My goal was to be a managing editor at a mid-sized daily, which I've never done.
You went right past that step.
Blew right past it.
Yeah, and you weren't thinking about heading up a sports commission at any point either.
Absolutely not. Kevin Gray was a close friend of mine. 6 months after he hired me, he passed away from muscle cancer.
Yeah, I remember.
So there was a search put out.
Big loss. Went on for a huge loss
for our community and for his family. And so the search went on, and then I was approached that fall, would you apply? And I thought, there's no possible way I could manage this type of job. I didn't even think about being a female in this world. I was like, I do not have that background to do this job. And everyone said, but you really do when you look at your background. So no, this was not where I thought I would ever be running a sports commission ever.
So you had friends or mentors who sort of at one point took you by the hand, Kathy, and said, think about this. We think you have it within you, and that helped you get over a certain hump, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. I will never forget the person that came to me. It was our board chair at the time, came and said, I think you really need to think outside the box here, because we all, the entire board of directors, sees you as our next leader. You now need to see yourself as our next leader.
How surprised were you when that person told you that?
Oh, I was shocked, because in my mind, who... For me, I was stepping into someone's shadow, a leader in our community, someone that understood everything there was to know about sports. You know, he could tell you stats from all the past Royals teams. He could talk basketball, everything. And I can obviously do some of that. I have to in my career. But to be able to step into his shadows and in his shoes of someone who lost in our community, it was a big deal for me to mentally go, okay, I'm up for this challenge.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. If you are a woman leader, or maybe you work with one, give us a call and describe the challenges your leader is up against. Are the challenges facing women really all that different or not? 816-235-2888 and our email address updatedate@kcur.org. You know, on your website, Kathy, it lists your employees at the Kansas City Sports Commission. I couldn't help but notice that 11 of the 13 are women. Was that a conscious choice, or did it just sort of shake out that way?
It just shook out that way. And I will tell you, the two men on our staff are new. So I never saw it that way. It just happened to be. I mean, it was one of those things. These women that are my coworkers and on my team were in the right place at the right time. I knew them, male or female. I would have hired them in that role. I would have promoted them in that role.
You weren't necessarily making a statement here.
Not at all. Yeah. Our board did say, do you realize you have an all-female staff at the Sports Commission? I said, okay, I realize that now. But we're very... very much leaders in our industry and field, and we're looked on as a sports commission in the entire country as one of the top sports commissions. And again, people don't know male or female.
That's the voice of Kathy Nelson. She's president and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission. We're also visiting with Mia Parrish, publisher of the Kansas City Star. Mia, to what extent do you feel an obligation to bring more women into the newsroom and in different leadership capacities? How much of that is on your agenda as you move forward here?
I don't consider it part of the agenda. I think that I'm good with people. I'm good with cultivating people. So generally, I'm looking for that. And I think of it broadly, and I'm looking for skill sets broadly. I'm laughing about Kathy because when I took the job, there two of the people on the leadership team were women, and now six of us are of the 12. So not, again, on purpose, but I do probably think more broadly about who brings what to that. And the three women, actually, well, three of the four women I've promoted have been at the Star forever. They've been there for decades, you know, and they're awesome, and, you know, they're great team members, and it just so it wasn't on purpose. I didn't say let me go find some girls, but I do think I'm good at spotting talent, and I probably look at that more broadly.
Yeah.
And I do value diversity in terms of voices and age and opinion, and I think all of those things factor into it, and some of it has to do with gender.
You know, not only have you said that you worked in different capacities within newsrooms, you've also worked in different cities, Minneapolis, you've been in Idaho, Arizona, San Francisco before you got to Kansas City. Walk us through your career just quickly, Mia. Where did you start and how did you wind up here in Kansas City?
Sure. I grew up in Maryland and I got an internship at the Virginian Pilot, and they hired me right out of school, which was very fortunate. And I was able to, you know, sort of have a running start at that place. So I immediately was able to be in charge of the front page at a very young age and write stories and lead teams. And I was an assistant business editor when I was 22.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Who did that?
And
again, that was something that they approached me and said, you should do this. And I thought, I'm not actually really qualified for that. I'm like, oh, you'll be fine. We have a great business editor, which he is wonderful. He's still a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to the Chicago Sun-Times when I was 23, I guess, or 24. And I was a copy editor and a page designer, a photo editor, all different kinds of jobs, including I was the assistant Sunday editor.
Mm-hmm.
I was Roger Ebert's editor for a while.
No kidding.
And a travel editor and an entertainment editor. So things that came up, again, people would come and say, hey, there's this thing. And I'd say, hey, I don't know how to do that. But there were mentors along the way. I had a really wonderful mentor at the Sun-Times. And I was there for about 6 years.
Can I just ask, how was it working with Roger Ebert?
Oh, he is a wonderful man.
Really?
Oh, God, I loved him. One of the greatest professionals I've ever – probably the best professional I've ever worked with. Early adopter of technology. He was the first person I ever knew who emailed a story in, and he was at Con. So cool. He had one computer that you could get a story from, and it was just there for Roger so he could travel.
Yeah.
A beautiful writer and a really great friend.
So he would accept your editing and he wouldn't go ballistic.
You know, I would go with lightly edited, but only because he didn't really need a lot of editing.
Yeah, I bet.
He's a really great writer and a hard worker.
So after Chicago, what?
I was at the Sun-Times for about 6 years in all these different roles as section editors and features editor. And I really wanted to get back to the news side because this probably was a girl thing. Girls tend to be in features, and I was like, no, I'm going to be a news girl again. So I was hired as a projects and Sunday editor at the Arizona Republic in Phoenix, where I didn't have any people, but I had purview over the Sunday paper, which I really liked. I liked being able to be in charge of this thing and work with all people across the newsroom. And then they came to me and said, we really want you to run the features department. Which I didn't want to do. But they said they needed me. So I had people who were really helping guide my career.
You didn't want to do it. Why?
Because I was a girl and girls go to features.
That's
so,
what you were
I mean,
I
that
just
was really
ask.
Kind of the reason. Yeah. And I'd been in news and then features, and I wanted to be news because that's where the action is and whatever. And I totally think differently now, but, you know, at the time. But they said, this mentor of mine who's still a friend, you need to be in charge of people. You need to run departments, and you're not going to, like, break the food section. You know, it'll be okay. This is a good place for you to learn and to grow. So at 28, I had about 100 people and 16 sections a week.
And this was in?
And this is in Phoenix.
In Phoenix, yeah.
And then I was hired to help launch the Sunday newspaper at the San Francisco Chronicle. It's after Hearst, which had the Examiner, bought the Chronicle, and they didn't have a Sunday newspaper. So I went there to launch. And again, I left features and went to news.
Yeah.
And then while I was there, they said, we really want you to be in charge of our features department and run everything, you know, run all the feature sections.
Yeah.
I chose to go to I really liked McClatchy, which now is the third largest publishing company in the country, but it was a small boutique company, and went to the Minneapolis Star Tribune as the Sunday editor, again, which is a job I loved and I was good at. And while I was there, they asked me to be the features editor again, which I'm good at, but that's okay.
There's a pattern here.
There was a pattern.
Yeah.
But again, this was sort of built, and now I look back on it, and it's, you know, building those competencies and learning all across the newspaper and learning how the whole newsroom works and learning how the whole newspaper works. So I ran those and launched all their new feature sections and then was promoted. But while I was there, we still do, but we really had a good program back then where you would go in and say, what do I want to be when I grow up? And so I'd had a long conversation with my husband about this. I'm like, I don't know. What do I want to be when I grow up? I thought I wanted to be a managing editor. And he said, you know, I think you might be a good publisher. I wonder what it is they do.
So he was the first one who said it.
He was the first one who said it. And,
yeah,
you know, knew kind of what I was good at and what I was interested in. I liked that big picture. I liked solving these puzzles and looking all across the organization and like that longer range view, that kind of three-dimensional chess aspect of what we do.
And then lo and behold.
Well, I went in and I said, maybe someday if I actually knew what they did, I would maybe like to be considered to maybe possibly be a publisher. And they put me on a path.
And then you wound up in Idaho.
When McClatchy bought Knight Ritter, which used to own the Star, it included Idaho, and they made me a publisher in Idaho. So it looked a little weird, but they'd actually been working on it for a while.
So mentors, Kathy, clearly important here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, mentors, truth tellers, your peers. I mean, engage as many people as you can. You can never know too many people.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I got to ask this question because sometimes you hear, you read that women sometimes don't support other women as much as you think they might, that women sometimes, underlined, aren't the best allies of other women. True or not, Mia?
It's changed over my career. When I was younger, women were mean to me. It's just a fact. So I try really hard to remember that. Because I was young and there weren't that many of us, men were better mentors. As I've gotten older, I've had more peers. And also I think it isn't just – it goes both ways. So I have something to offer too. Mm-hmm. So but now I have wonderful mentors and mentees who are men and women, and they're part of my little – my friend group of truth tellers. I use that too. You know, I only want to be around people who tell me when I have spinach in my teeth.
Kathy, weigh in on that.
Well,
this notion of women not treating other women sometimes the best.
I don't find that to be true, especially now.
It's way different now.
It is so different now. I think I was so fortunate to jump into the career I had, and no one told me no, and I didn't have any females around me that were going to not support me. It was very much a male-dominated field. But there was something a coach told me years ago, the difference between men and women, especially as professionals, is women bond to fight, but men fight to bond.
I was going to ask you, I've heard you use mm-hmm. that expression. You mean what by that?
So I had to really see this in action to truly appreciate it. So I'll use my one of my daughter's volleyball teams, and they were struggling on the court. They didn't get along. They were nitpicking at each other, you know, talking behind each other's backs. They had to, off the court, become friends. They had to understand how to bond. They did a sleepover. We had dinner at the house. They really had to get to know each other. And then guess what? They started winning games because they had each other's backs. But boys,
they
learn
how to bond to fight.
They know they and understood once they've bonded and become friends, then they'd fight for each other. They had each other's backs. But boys, on the other hand, can take the basketball court. They could care less who you are. As long as you have on the same color jersey, they're going to do everything they can to win that game and to fight as a team. Then they became friends. And when I heard that years ago, I never understood it. But now I feel that exact same way in my professional career, that I need to really bond with my female counterparts, and we can accomplish anything. The two males that I have on staff, which are absolutely the two best guys in the city, they didn't even know each other.
Whoa.
Okay, in sports, how about that?
Okay.
On the sports industry side, two of the best guys around. And they didn't know each other, and immediately they started working on projects together, and now they've become friends. So it's so true with whatever
really
we do.
True.
There's some other advice that I've heard you offer, Kathy. One piece that just intrigued me, do not eat lunch at your desk. And you mean what by that?
Well, this took me years to understand. For me, lunchtime means I can call and make doctor's appointments for my kids. I call the school. I check their grades. You know, I might sit and return emails. I might call my mom. My male counterparts are using that lunchtime to go work out. They're networking. They're taking their coworkers to lunch. So I've really had to take that mentality of, okay, it's okay to leave your desk. So maybe once a week you might find me in my office. But I might go sit in our lunchroom so I can get to know my coworkers. I might go walk the streets and bump into the mayor on the street. Or, you know, I just really had to learn from my male counterparts. You need that time away to network, to debrief, to get to know people. And they were using that hour much better than I was.
Mia, it makes sense to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's about being like a guy because, again, you know, I'm going to be who I'm going to be. But being able to do things in ways that are beneficial and also are good examples.
Yeah.
And so I do want people interacting, and I do want them being efficient at work, for example, so they can get home to their kids or whatever, you know, being a good example in the workspace too.
Kathy, just a final point. You also talk about this idea that women don't promote themselves. And again, you mean what by that?
Well, we talked about that kind of at the top here, that it's okay to ask for something. It's okay to put yourself out there and take risks. I don't think I've never had a male counterpart or someone that's worked for me to come in and say, what does it take for me to get a pay raise? How do I get that next promotion? But sometimes my female counterparts have a little bit more difficulty in doing that.
Yeah. I want to thank Kathy Nelson, President and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission, and Mia Parrish, publisher of the Kansas City Star. You guys were great. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
You can find out more about our broadcast. Just go to kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR. Up to date, you can follow me at Steve Kraske. Tomorrow on the program, the author behind the new Kate Winslet film, Labor Day, joins us to talk about writing, pie, and a whole lot more. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Cody Newell. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.